Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 252 of a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Trend journalist and author Hillary Sheenbaum has been participating in Dry January for the past 4 years. What started out as a bet with a friend has turned into a ritual, and she is here to explain why she looks forward to it every year. She actually loves doing booze-free challenges so much, she wrote a book about it called The Dry Challenge, How to Lose the Booze for Dry January, Sober October, and Any Other Alcohol-Free Month. On this episode, you will learn the benefits from doing a booze-free month, the tools needed to successfully make it through a dry challenge, and the upcoming trends for the alcohol industry in 2024. This is such a fantastic episode. Let's get into it. Hillary, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm really excited to talk to you and obviously learn more about the dry challenge. We're definitely going to get into that because your book has been everywhere. My coaches are obsessed with you. And actually, in our Sober Girl book club, we're reading your book right now. So this is like just perfect timing. But before we get into the book, I want to know a little bit about you, about Hillary, and your relationship with alcohol and that what that looks like. So could you tell me, like, how do you identify in terms of alcohol?
Yeah, so I am definitely more on the sober curious side of things.
Okay.
It's evolved over the years for sure, and I will absolutely get into that. But at this stage, right now I probably have a glass of wine like once or twice a month, if that.
Okay.
And I will go several months without drinking at all. Just kind of depends. But I think a big part of what I do now really involves like non-alcoholic beverages. So I like to compare and contrast the traditional cocktails with the non-alcoholic ones. And so I can kind of give notes and also reflect and say to people, you know, if you like this, try that. And, you know, these are going to be the similarities and the differences. So, it's changed. It's changed a lot, definitely, since, you know, I started doing Dry Januaries in 2017.
Okay. And what got you started? Like, what got you going on your first Dry January?
It was a complete accident, if I'm being totally honest. I used to be a red carpet reporter.
Okay.
And I would interview celebrities on the red carpet on one-on-one interviews. And a lot of those events either, you know, went into after parties or after parties, or they were cocktail hours. And certainly it wasn't like frowned upon if you were having a drink or two on the job. And that didn't mean that I was drinking like every single night, but alongside being a 20-something in New York and going on dates and having, you know, birthday parties and everything centered around alcohol because we don't drive in New York City, there's definitely more opportunities to imbibe. And so along with all of those things I said, I was actually a freelance reporter writing about booze for publications like USA Today and Eater. So I was also drinking for research for work. So all
Whoa.
Of that, yeah.
Okay.
So even if it was like one drink here or two there, going out with my friends or going on dates, alcohol was definitely like a staple in my lifestyle and in my work. And that really changed when I made probably the best bet, but silliest bet of my life. New Year's Eve 2016 came around, and it was nothing that I could have ever anticipated. So I had actually caught up with a friend a week prior, and it was around Christmas time. His name is Alejandro, and we're still friends. And he used to be my plus one to all these like celebrity parties and, you know, functions with alcohol. And we were talking about the new year and if either of us had made New Year's resolutions. And at the time, and I still believe this, that New Year's resolutions are kind of silly. Like if you want to change something, you can do it in the moment or the next day or a Monday if you want to, you know, start fresh. You don't have to wait until January 1st. So I kind of was like, no, not really. And he brought up this thing called Dry January, which at the time was not nearly as popular as it is today.
Right.
So I kind of, you know, changed the subject. It made me really uncomfortable. It didn't bode with my lifestyle at the time or my job.
Right.
So we kind of
What was continued. Even going through your mind when he like suggested it or brought it up?
It was almost the equivalent, because I am a journalist and a writer, mm-hmm. and it's almost the equivalent of being like, you're going to go a month without a computer, like without a, you know, without access to the things that are going to financially support you. Because that was
interesting.
That was my livelihood at the time. And if I had cut out, you know, I could still do red carpets, obviously. I didn't, you know, need to drink at those functions. But if I was writing something for these outlets where my beat was actually, you know, wine, beer, and spirits, it was going to get complicated really fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very competitive. So if you're not writing for a week, let alone a month, you're going to get replaced real quickly. So I was like, absolutely not. That does not fit my agenda. And lo and behold, on New Year's Eve 2016, before the ball dropped, I was tipsy texting friends and just wishing them, you know, Happy New Year. And Alejandro was one of those people who wasn't in the room with me at this party. And I proposed a Dry January bet. And, you know, he accepted. And we're both really stubborn. But I ended up winning. And it's really what set off this kind of, it was the catalyst to what has become now my life almost, you know, especially it affected my career, my relationships, my friendships, my lifestyle. And yeah, I've been doing it for 8 years now. So,
wow.
It was one of those like spur of the moment things that I never, I always wanted to write a book. I never thought it was going to be on the topic of, you know, a dry January or a dry month. I was, you know, in the weeds. I was a reporter really writing about the opposite. And, you know, it was definitely a difference, almost like, I don't want to call it an identity crisis, but I definitely had these moments where people would look at me and not only question like if I was sick or pregnant, et cetera, but they were like very confused because I was that person who always knew the hottest bars, you know, what to order, knew the latest news on every single, you know, bottle of wine or booze that was coming out. And so it was a 180 for sure. Yeah.
So, okay. Take us back to your very first Dry January. What did you learn in this time? Like the first time is always very shocking, right?
Yes.
Like it's always, it's new. You're like a deer in headlights. What did you learn in this, in your very first Dry January?
I learned so much. I have to say that like right off the bat, we being like me and five friends went to brunch on January 1st. And this was definitely my now or never moment. The waiter brought over 6 tequila shots, like complimentary, and was handing them out to everyone at the table. And I remember like staring at mine and thinking like, okay, if I take this, I can totally text Alejandro and be like, oh, I was just kidding. Like it was a joke. Or if I pass this up, like it was on. So I gave it to a friend. And that was definitely a moment of like, okay, like I can do this. I will say though, I learned so much about myself, about how people interact with and without alcohol, how, you know, in drinking situations, how people don't ever say the right thing. I shouldn't say ever. It's definitely gotten better. But, you know, I was often targeted and like ask these obnoxious questions that nobody would ask outside of a bar scenario. Like I said, like they would ask, like, are you pregnant? Are you sick?
Right.
Are you, you know, like, do you have a problem? And
right.
Outside of that scenario, nobody would feel comfortable. I mean, I certainly didn't feel comfortable on the receiving end, but, sure. I learned also like so much about myself, like how alcohol was affecting my mental health, my physical health, my sleep. Oh my God, it was such a difference. Mm. And dating was like a completely different story. So,
oh
all,
yeah,
all positive things came out of out of that month, but it was it was a real learning experience.
Yeah, totally. What did you end up like saying to people who would, you know, inquire? And I think I'm generalizing here, but I don't think people ask maybe these questions maliciously, you know, like, are you pregnant? Are you on medication? Or even why aren't you drinking? I think it's a genuine curiosity for most people, because in society, it is still up until this day, 2024. Like, you know, I think probably because we're so in it, in the non-alcoholic space, we're like, what? Like, catch up already. But even to this day, people are going to ask these questions. How did you handle those questions?
Yeah, it's interesting because I agree with you. I think it's come so far, but at the same time, I don't think it's necessarily malicious. I think it's a lot of curiosity and also some self-reflection.
Yes.
Right. So
yes, it's projection. It always has something to do with them, and which is hard not to take personal because, you know, your relationship with alcohol is very personal. It is emotional. That's why it's so intense.
Absolutely. And like, totally not to go off on a tangent, but like alcohol means different things to different people. So for some people, it means like having fun or relaxing. For other people, it means, you know, this is going to be a really long night of chaos. So, and so on and so forth. So I think that for me, it depended on who my audience was and how I was explaining it to them. Sometimes I would just be like, oh, I'm not drinking tonight or not right now. But a lot of the time I would actually talk about my bet. And I found that when I did, people were more likely to rally behind me because they wanted to support the winner and they wanted my friend to lose, especially on dates. Like, guys were like, yeah, we got to show this guy. Like, I'm totally on your side. And I was like, but you didn't care 10 seconds ago when I just said no.
That's so funny.
It was bizarre, but I think a lot of people really liked the idea that they were going to help me win something. In this case, it was a fancy dinner in New York City paid for by Alejandro, which I won, rightfully so. But yeah, like it was just, it was nuts. Like I remember, you know, even close friends of mine at the time, they'd say like, can't you just have one? Like if you're going to drink again, I don't understand what the point is, or you've gone, you know, half the month, like that's enough. So it was.
Yeah, but that's not the challenge. It's not a half a month challenge. Like, duh.
Right.
It's not the rules here.
Exactly. So,
that's so interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, like it really just depended on who the person was, like the audience, like I said. Sometimes I didn't even bring it up. I would just say, like, oh, I have an early morning or I had enough tonight, even though I hadn't had anything.
I think knowing your audience is key. I love that you bring that up because not everyone, you know, some of our sobriety stories have legs to them, right? Like it's not just a quick kind of answer. It's not like a little elevator pitch, but a lot of our stories are quite deeply ingrained in us and our behavior and our, and maybe even our makeup as a person or how we identify. And so is that really necessary, like to give that whole background to everyone? Probably not.
Right. And truthfully, like, I know there are so many memes that say like, oh, the person who's doing Dry January won't shut up about it. And I was absolutely that person to some people. You know what I mean? Like when I felt comfortable, I was that individual being like, my skin is so clear. Like, yeah. I sleep. Like, my anxiety is down. Like, it was just, that's partly why I wrote the book. So I could just say, here, read the book instead, and I'll shut up for the moment. But I haven't really shut up either. So,
yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I love how you said when you felt more comfortable or when you gained this confidence. How long or what did it look like getting kind of like your booze-free sea legs, if you will? What did that look like?
Honestly, I think it just took a little bit of practice. I think at first, okay. I had no intention to do a dry January until, you know, moments before the ball dropped in Times Square. So I still, when I returned to my apartment, you know, a few hours later, I still had, you know, wine and booze and stuff all over my kitchen, in my fridge, et cetera. And so I didn't have a plan. And I think that was something everything in my book are things that I learned firsthand from doing it without a plan and just learning as I went. And I think that just getting the right, you know, words to tell people was part of that. So I think it just, as soon as I found kind of, as you were saying, like my elevator pitch, like the way that I was presenting, I definitely felt, you know, more confident and like stronger about it. And I would just be like, yeah, I'm doing a dry month. I have to meet my friend. Like, we've got a really expensive dinner on the line. And people, you know, would be like, oh my gosh, tell me more. Like, how's it going? Like, do you think it's hard? Like, should we sabotage him? I mean, no, we shouldn't. We're playing fair.
Should we sabotage him?
Yeah.
Damn. It really brings out everyone's competitive side. Huh?
I know. I mean, especially being in New York, you know, everyone's like type A and super competitive. Yeah. So people are really into it. But I don't know. If we hadn't had a bet, I wonder if it would have made my life, you know, a little bit more difficult that first month, because that became such a big reason, I think, both for people to support me and for me to, you know, stay motivated. So it all worked out.
Yeah. And I think I love that idea. I love the competition. I love kind of getting everyone on board in your corner. Of course, this isn't the case for everyone. It's not everyone's reason to stop or like method to stop. But I think we can take little pieces away from this and kind of tailor it to everyone's own experience with changing their relationship with alcohol.
Absolutely. Because
yes, of course, it's tough stuff, but it can be fun and it can be enjoyable and it can be, you know, we can kind of put our focus on something else for a short amount of time.
Definitely.
Makes it fun.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, dry challenges, dry Januaries are not for people who are in recovery or seeking recovery options.
Right.
But I will say that having a friend, even though we were competitors, having a friend do it with me was so comforting and motivating. And I don't want to say that we like held each other accountable, because that sounds like someone was about to slip. But it really made things easier, because we could talk about it when I couldn't necessarily talk about the ups and downs with anybody else. We could, you know, text each other and say, oh my gosh, I'm at this bar and everyone's drinking and I'm not, and I want to go home, or, you know, that sort of thing. Or like, let's do X, Y, and Z when everybody is trying to go get a boozy brunch. So it really made it easier to have somebody by my side who was also experiencing the same things.
Definitely. Definitely makes it more enjoyable. Love that. So, okay, you got your first dry January under your belt. How did, after that first dry January, how did that then kind of propel and change your relationship with alcohol from that point on?
Well, I'm going to be honest, like February 1st, February 1st, it must have been, because I must have had a drink on the 31st. I was unwell. I went right back to drinking.
Okay.
And of course, that obviously taught me the lesson of my tolerance is so much lower, and you need to drink water in between drinks, and you need to eat before you go out. And like all these things that I somehow forgot slash like just completely slipped my mind, because I had just gotten into this routine of not drinking.
Yeah.
So the first year I think was pretty like interesting because I was definitely like more aware of what I was consuming mm-hmm. and who I was consuming with, how I was feeling, and all of those things. I think, you know, the second year I started doing Sober Octobers, and the third year, I think it was, I was doing like Sober October, I was doing like a Sober September, and it was just building and building. In 2021, I think it was, between 2020 and 2021, I did about 6 months without alcohol, and it wasn't me restricting or, you know, saying I need to just like give it up for XYZ reason. It just didn't like appeal to me. It wasn't something I missed. And I think when I did have my first drink after those 6 months, it was because I was reuniting with friends and I had, you know, a sip of champagne and that was it. And so it's just so interesting and different because if you had asked me 8-9 years ago, what I was doing on a Wednesday night, I would have said, oh, I'm going to go to a cocktail party with XYZ brand and I'm going to learn about their new tequila, vodka, bourbon, whatever they have. And, you know, sit down with some mixologists and ask them, how do I make this into a cocktail? And now that is not my life. And so it wasn't necessarily like a quick thing where I was like, all right, I did this month and now this is my entire personality, but now it's definitely more of what I speak to on a daily basis. It's become part of what I do for work, and certainly I'm not writing about booze anymore. So, it's a wild.
That's so interesting, like so fascinating. So, do you think that like sobriety now, because you know, I understand, you know, learning about the new alcohols and, you know, whatever every brand has out, but now it's different. We see all these big alcohol brands actually having non-alcoholic alternatives, which is so cool. Do you think that sobriety is a trend?
I think it's interesting, right? It depends what the word trend means, because on one hand, sobriety is definitely not a trend. It's people's lifestyle. It is what they need to do every day to live. And I obviously want to be respectful of that. I do think that this like new age sobriety or sober curiousness or like interest has definitely gained traction. And when you kind of break it down, it's more evident why. I think that people are more health and wellness focused than ever before. Gen Z is definitely drinking less. It's hard for, you know, those individuals and also millennials and even Gen X. I mean, definitely less Gen X, but like, I guess the younger, the more zeroed in they are on, you know, the research that's now showing that that glass of red wine isn't really healthy. You know, there's really no escaping how much science and research has gone into exploring, you know, quote unquote, what's healthy in alcohol. So I think
which actually isn't that like health and alcohol don't mix. It's not a complete sentence.
It's so funny. And like, I might get so much hate for this, but it's just blows my mind. But I was on Instagram literally yesterday and this ad popped up for this fitness studio in New York City. And the headline, let me see if it's still on my stories, but the headline was like, don't drink. And then it was like, then don't work out here. And yeah, it definitely erased from my stories. But I'm, the headline was, don't drink, don't work out here, period. And it's for a fitness studio that has a bar. And their whole shtick is that you go and work out and then you drink right afterwards with your friends. And so I posted it on my story. And this was like a sponsored ad that like just came across as I was swiping. And I said, I just put it out. I said, I drink occasionally, but this is stupid advertising. And then I tagged the studio and I said, do better. And I said, number one, shaming people in any way, so 2004. And two, peer pressuring people to drink to work out with you is juxtaposing everything I know about health. Thank you. And I got so many DMs that were like, is this real? Like, I can't believe this. Other people were like, oh my gosh, this popped up on my thing and I blocked them. But I just think that there's obviously evidence that that is not good for you. So anyway, that was my...
I think, yeah, the whole, like you said, shaming people, or if like, basically, if you don't belong, like you don't belong here if you don't drink.
Right. Like, in which case, like, also,
why would you do that? Like, yeah. And it's a gym.
Right.
Aren't you supposed to be promoting a healthy lifestyle? How in any way is like drinking and drinking to excess healthy?
Right.
There's zero evidence that the alcohol is healthy for you. Somebody missed the mark in that advertising marketing meeting. Yeah. For show.
I was like, no, this isn't working.
Wow.
I think it triggered a lot for people because there were, the DMs that I got were just like outraged.
Yeah, I bet. So. But it's also it's also good to see that people like are standing up for themselves and not just like, you know, we could just sweep this under the rug and be like, oh, like that kind of sucks and move on. Yeah. No, like people are actually being like, this is so not cool, like to mean girl, basically.
Yeah.
Like mean girls is so out, right? Like that is not trending or that is not cool anymore. You know, like, being more health conscious, like caring about your health, your wellness inside and out. That is what's cool. That is what's trending. Being nice, being inclusive, being kind.
Yeah.
That is trending.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I love how sobriety fits into that. I definitely think sobriety is trending. And I say this in the best possible way. I think this is great. I love that people are exploring and taking a look at their relationship with alcohol.
Definitely.
I think that's fantastic. You know, we're not here to convert anyone, right? We're not here to like tell everyone like, okay, everyone needs to buckle in and we're not drinking anymore and you're all our alcoholics. Like, that is not what we're doing at all, but opening up this conversation, having just space for a different conversation. And I think your book is so important in that capacity. You know, it's like not everyone wants to do or can actually see themselves doing complete abstinence. And I think taking a chunk of time, doing these little challenges is so enlightening and so important, because who knows, once that door is kind of cracked open, who knows what can happen? Who knows?
And I was definitely one of those people that didn't expect any like monumental changes, which is so funny to me. It's like the most ironic thing. But I was excited to see if there were any changes. You know, people used to say like, oh, you're going to lose weight, which not true, because I replaced my booze with ice cream. And that, you know, which is a thing, like people tend to gravitate towards sugar when they're not drinking. But I think that it didn't matter if everyone on the planet was like, you're going to change the way you drink, or you're going to sleep better, or, you know, you're going to just feel more elevated. Like even my mood was just like, I was a happier person. I don't think I would have taken them seriously. I had to experience it firsthand. And so. Yeah. Yeah, you really get a different perspective on life, really.
Totally. And it's just building that awareness, like you said, like, you know, being aware of your drinking habits, why you're drinking, who you're drinking with. That's huge intel.
Yeah.
Huge. And why not, like, what do you have to lose for 30 days?
Right. Right. Also
what
during
do you
January,
actually have to lose? Like, yeah.
What are you doing? And that's the other thing. It's like talking about, like, you know, things that you gain. It's not even just like that, all of the things that you gain, like your a new perspective, like better sleep, better digestion, better skin, you know, potential weight loss if you're not eating ice cream like me. But you also save so much money if you're not drinking. Like the amount of cash that people spend on pricey cocktails is one thing, but also the Ubers and like getting yourself home safe and the food that you're eating at like 2 a.m. and, you know, the food that you're eating when you're hungover and all of like, you know, the Gatorade or electrolytes or whatever it is that you need to, or the, you know, canceled fitness classes on Saturday and Sunday morning because you didn't make it out of bed. There is so much that we spend on just getting back to our normal state after drinking. It's crazy.
Yeah, man. Not to mention the apology tour or the relationships you ruin, or like just because the filter is completely gone.
Yeah.
You know, just the like emotional and spiritual damage like that you can't throw some cash at.
No. Oh my gosh. That's so true. It's so true.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing, you have everything to gain, I think, from doing these challenges and from just reading your book too.
Thank you.
You have everything to gain. Booze ain't going anywhere.
No.
Still going to be there. But why not take a little break?
Totally.
See what you can have, what you can win. Heck, maybe you can win a nice dinner like you did.
I definitely encourage it. I mean, to this day, he won't make a bet with me, but it's okay. It's okay.
That's hilarious. So I'm curious, has the prize like upped, like, you know, the following years that you've done it, like what has been the prize like this far?
No, I only made that bet the first year. And I think, I don't know if it was the fifth or sixth year, but Alejandro finally completed a dry January. So I was very proud of him. We didn't have any other prizes. I didn't make any other bets. I will say that I dedicated the dry challenge to him. So in the end, I think that we both won. So there's that.
Aw, that is so sweet.
Yeah.
I love that. So Hillary, what do you see for 2024? What is like the upcoming kind of things? Because I know you're a trend journalist and, you know, you always had your finger on the pulse with alcohol, but like, what are you looking for? What are you seeing in the non-alcoholic space in 2024?
So much. So last year I had predicted that we were going to see like wine pairings on tasting menus, but with non-alcoholic beverages. And as I was saying it, I was actually saying this to a Wall Street Journal reporter and he responded to me, oh wait, the first one just came out. So I can't remember where it was, but this was a year ago. So I think we'll see more of that, more non-alcoholic tastings on menus that have, you know, multiple courses. I think that sober travel or quote unquote dry tripping is going to be a huge trend. I just took 5 journalists to Maui on a press trip as part of my new venture called goingdry.co. And the reason was to showcase that you can have fun while vacationing, while traveling without booze. So we did other activities. Obviously, we spent a lot of time in the sun, but, you know, we volunteered in Maui and we also went and got, you know, spa massages. We had mocktails and we just really showed that you can have, you know, an amazing time and live your best life without the crutch of an alcoholic drink. So I think that sober travel will definitely be a big one. I think more hotels, restaurants, and bars are going to be, you know, showcasing those beverages. And there's also this great app that I always talk about because I think it's wonderful. It's called Better Without. And you can actually like type in your location and it can tell you where the nearest bars are that serve non-alcoholic beverages. So whether you're by yourself or you're with friends who are also drinking, they can get something that they want to get and you can get something that you want to get. And there's, you know, not much of a compromise. You can both drink what you want.
I love that. And I love sober, like what, dry tripping? Is that what you called it?
That's what it's called.
I love that. Yeah. Cause I really noticed like in my sobriety, I actually had a vacation. There's so much time and energy that I used to spend on vacation thinking about drinking or what I was going to drink next or like when I should stop drinking so I could like sober up and like get ready for dinner.
Yeah.
You don't have to do any of that.
No.
You can just be It's amazing.
It is.
And do a whole bunch of cool stuff.
And you know what's crazy is people have asked, they're like, where's the best city to go for, you know, a dry trip or a sober excursion? And honestly, it sounds so backwards, but New York City is so great for it. Because
really?
Yeah. So there's a hotel on the Lower East Side and they have a rooftop bar called Unlisted. They serve a few non-alcoholic beverages that have free spirits and also Flu Air in their mocktails. They're absolutely delicious. So you can drink at that bar, you can stay in that hotel. They have inclusive options. Mm-hmm. There's also Club Curious in Brooklyn, which is owned by Curious Elixirs, where you can go and see a comedy show or see, you know, a DJ perform and sip these non-alcoholic beverages. And also, I guess even outside of New York, if you're really fancy, you can book a stay at like a Ritz-Carlton, and they have these insane fresh pressed juices by this brand called Twisted Alchemy that make the best mocktails. And then in that case, you don't need to add any like non-alcoholic spirits. Well, you could if you wanted to, but they'll just like, you know, make you a fancy juice mocktail, which is like chef's kiss. So
yeah,
there's so many options, and like, it's just growing, you know, all the time.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. I love that. Hillary, where can we check out you, and where can we find your book on the World Wide Web?
Yeah, so you can check out me on my Instagram, Hillary Writes NY, Hillary's with one L, also goingdry.co. And you can find my book on Amazon and in Barnes & Noble stores and in Target stores too.
Amazing. And one last question before we go. To anyone who is kind of, you know, thinking about this but doesn't really know what to do, or any words of encouragement to or advice to give someone who is maybe attempting to do a dry month or a dry challenge?
Oh, absolutely. So first and foremost, I always say recruit a friend. It's what I did. It kept me going throughout the month. It'll help, you know, it'll help you not only like schedule activities that don't have to do with booze, but you have somebody who's going to cheer you on. You can cheer them on, and you can vent to each other too if you're just hating it. The second thing I always say is like, try the non-alcoholic beverages. There are so many options now. You're bound to find something that is similar to what you like in taste. And I would say, obviously, you know, schedule activities that don't have to do with alcohol, whether that is taking walks with friends or going to the park if that's available to you. Anything like that you love to do, going to restaurants, baking, maybe some arts and crafts. And I would also say it's just really important to be kind to yourself throughout this process. I think that it seems so very like black and white, like, oh, all I have to do is, you know, not drink. But then you realize that alcohol is everywhere. It is so embedded in everything we do, including social opportunities and networking and birthdays, like celebrations galore, and also in times of mourning and loss. And so even when you watch TV, it's almost impossible to avoid a commercial that reminds you that drinks are readily available. So I think that if you are, you know, going through this process or challenging yourself to a dry month, that even if you have one or, you know, you have a few, just start again and realize that like, you don't have to necessarily start from day one. You can just continue on with your month and be kind to yourself. It's just, it's not worth, you know, beating yourself up over.
Definitely. Definitely. Love that. Yeah. You got to love yourself, because you know what? We got to love and learn. Live, laugh, love, learn.
Yes.
Hillary, thank you so, so much for your time and your knowledge and sharing your experience with us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your time.
I always love seeing different perspectives and modalities and how people change their relationship with alcohol. And I absolutely love Hillary's approach. Nothing like a good old-fashioned competition. As always, thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, and leave your feedback about the podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at A Sober Girls Guide, and head to asobergirlsguide.com. We got your back at any stage of your booze-free journey. From tips and tricks from our blog, to our Sober Girl Social Club, to our group coaching programs, we got your back at any stage of your booze-free journey. Head to asobergirlsguide.com now. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.